Like, no dip. Captain Obvious. We were doing metaphors today in class in English. And there is, I came up with one. And this one was all right. And I was like, it was love is like a sword. These are really basic metaphors. Mm-hmm. She gave us a template for how to write it. And it made me mad because I was like, you can't control me.
I'll do my own.
Do what I want. But I didn't do what I want. I did what she wanted. And I said, love is like a sword because it kills while it protects. And I was like, that's intense.
Hey, this is Simon from The Slants, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library, the best podcast on earth.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I am Richard, along with
April,
Logan,
Luis.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. And this one is, as you're going to see, is a Paramount picture. So we'll give a brief description here. It just released in 2014. I think it came out actually the summer of 13, though, if I remember. I'm not quite sure, though.
Well, maybe.
The key people in this is the director is McGee. That's what he goes by. The key cast members are really only four people to me, unless there's something that you guys see as other characters.
I see four.
Chris Pine is Jack Ryan. Most people know him as Captain Kirk, the new Captain Kirk for the Star Trek movies. Keira Knightley is Kathy Mueller. She is Jack Ryan's love interest.
Is it Ryan or Rhyme?
Ryan. R-Y-A-N, Ryan.
Wow, I heard that wrong the whole movie. I thought they were saying rhyme, like
rhyme,
like rhyming words. Oh. Yeah.
Kevin Costner plays Thomas Harper, and Kenneth Branagh plays Viktor Chervin, and that is a Russian name, so Russian. I'm not sure. I don't know if Kenneth... I don't know what his background is, but the gist of the movie, to give a simple storyline, it's Jack Ryan's been around. He's a character of Tom Clancy novels. They've had different movies. Harrison Ford played him in a couple of movies. Alec Baldwin played him in Hunt for Red October. The Daredevil guy, what's his name? I just went blank.
Oh, is he the new Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know who he's talking about, but I don't know.
Ben Affleck.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck played Jack Ryan in another movie, and this time around it's, Chris Pine is playing the Jack Ryan character. So here's the gist. A new version of the CIA analyst Jack Ryan. It begins with Ryan was attending the London School of Economics. 9/11 happened. And he decided to enlist in the Marines and go off to Afghanistan. The chopper he was on would get shot down, and he would suffer severe injuries that would require intense rehab. While there, he grabs the attention of a man named Harper, who works for the CIA, and would like him to finish his studies and get a job on Wall Street so he can find out any terrorist plot through their finances. After a few years, Ryan finds anomalies in the accounts of a Russian named Chervin. Jack thinks he should go to Russia to find out what's going on. I thought Harper did that, but...
Who?
Jack wants to go to Russia, but I was thinking the Harper character kind of led him to go to Russia.
Who's Harper?
The Kevin Costner character who recruited him.
Thank you.
Sorry.
The Kevin Costner character. Oh, that...
The boss character.
Duh.
Sorry about that.
The boss character.
The boss.
Yep, the boss.
That doesn't help either.
Jack was told not to tell anyone who he is, and that includes his girlfriend, fiance. Kathy, and later becomes fiance, and later wife. She catches Jack in some lies, which makes her doubt him. He goes to Russia. Chervin assigns him someone to take to take care of him. But when they're alone, the man tries to kill Jack, so Jack kills him instead. And then the kind of chase is on from that point.
Yeah.
This is rated PG-13 for sequences of violence and intense action and brief, strong language. And this, I do not believe, is actually based on any of Tom Clancy's books. It's just based on the character, Jack Ryan. Okay. So if I could be wrong, but...
I like Tom Clancy.
But this one, though. Was were the books set while he was in the Army or while he was in the CIA?
He was in the Marines, but when he was in the Marines, they got shot down, the chopper crashed.
Yeah.
And while I was in the rehab, the Harper character, the CIA no,
were the books.
Yeah, oh, the books?
Yeah, were they
set in the Marines
or part, out or in the or CIA post-Marines?
Part? Both. Okay. He basically talks about his past, but I don't think they go deep into it, but he starts out already as a CIA analyst.
So it's post-Marines with Marines flashbacks. Yeah.
Right, that's in the books.
This is the prelude thing.
Kind of
like,
kind of like his first mission.
It pretty much was, okay, if you think about it. Because, you know, how you say he kills a guy, that was his first ever kill.
Yeah,
because he was shaking and was scared.
But, yeah, I think, what was I going to say?
Don't know. This happened to me last time. Now it's happening to you. But yeah, he's recruited by the Kevin Costner character, Harper.
I don't know.
He basically gets hired on as an analyst. And like Louis said, when he gets to Russia, he becomes operative, as they say in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Even when he was a Marine, he had sent that one type of paper in three times.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was some type of algorithm. Mm-hmm. Type deal. I remember that now, Logan. You're right.
I'm not sure what it was, but he seemed to think it was important at the beginning, at least.
True, and that's how the Harper character discovered him.
Yeah.
Was through that paper, and then he went to see him face to face, but kind of watch him in rehab and doing all of that.
Oh, no, I thought it was kind of ridiculous when I don't know, he was, like, giving his information, you know, to his other CIA dude, and... The guy's like, all right, you're going to be going to Russia, you know. And he was like, I'm not meant to be a field agent, you know. I'm like, that's bull crap. I think,
they should have trained him a little more. I think they should have trained him a little more.
No matter what job you have, desk job or, you know, you should be prepared to do a field job.
Exactly, you know, I know he was just working for, like you said, for like the stocks and stuff. But like they should have still, even
but
though
he should
you know
be
how he
ready
had, exactly,
for
you know
it,
how they
you
had,
never
he had,
know.
Like you said, he had like a little double life kind of a little bit because he didn't tell his girlfriend.
Right.
He should have done like training at the side and then at the same time going to the office.
Yeah.
That way he could, like you said, be prepared, because even though you're working for the office, you should still, just in case something does happen, like you said, you got to be prepared for anything.
True.
So
and that, that would have been a much better way to get him the info, like that theater thing. Why he kept the
stub?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's just a plot point for the movie to progress, for her to wonder what he's doing.
Having a self-defense class or something probably would have been a much better way to swap info around.
No.
Because it was a big manila envelope.
Once he's in his job.
Gonna smack someone with it and like.
No. He did have his Marine training. So he did have some of that.
Yeah.
He did have a smidgen of CIA training, but not like a full operative.
Yeah.
But where you're talking about where he went to this theater to exchange information, that's 2 years after he was approached. So he can't go to any more training because that would look suspicious to anybody.
I'm talking about from the beginning.
So am
just I. Just have a self-defense class or something to keep brushing up on the... once he's gotten out of rehab.
He can't do that because he's in the field as an analyst. Anything that when he goes back for any type of training, that could be a red flag. So you're pretty much trained. You're not retrained too often unless it's really, really necessary.
So if they would want to train him, they'd have to do it way under the radar.
Yeah. Right.
But so yeah,
I understand what you're saying, but the way the...
Just to keep it covered. Yeah, right. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So if he, you know, if he made trips back to Langley... Each time, you know, there's going to be records of all that. So if he does, you know, somebody like his boss, you might say, well, why are you going to Virginia all the time? That could possibly expose him. So that's the reason why they get their training up front, and then that's pretty much it. But I agree, you would think that everybody would get the same training before they're put out into the field.
I think I'm thinking of a bit different. You know how you once took a karate class? I mean, something like that. Not heavy training.
Yes, but we know. Well, you've got to think, even if, you know, his boss doesn't think about it, you never know who's looking into you, looking into ex-Marines, because you never know who's going to get activated, you know, with the world of secrets and shadows. So it's...
You can kind of see possibly a karate class. I could probably see maybe something like that, but he'd have to constantly look like he's not trained. You kind of see what I'm getting at? Because if he shows himself too well within that frame set, like April said, that would trigger a possible question mark.
You never know who's so watching.
And exactly, he could be followed. Exactly, he could be followed. And
but I see what you're saying, Logan.
Yeah, I do.
I understand.
And I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Like, his girlfriend thought he was cheating on her after, you know, she found the movie stub in his pocket. And I was like, God, like, good Lord.
Yeah, for me, I feel like she overreacted too fast. After, like, you know, you want to go see a movie? No, or whatever. Yeah, whatever. And then, like, later on, she gets really mad really quick.
Flips out. Are you cheating on me? What? Like, based on, you know, what we saw of their relationship, how it started, how it grew, you know, how they were in the moment, like, devotion and everything, I'm like, what in the world has you so on edge about it all?
She asked if he'd seen the movie before.
What?
She asked if he'd seen the movie before.
That's when they were at the dinner or whatever.
I thought she asked if he wanted to go to the movie.
Yeah, first she was like, "You want to go see the movie?"
If he'd seen it before,
and he said no, blah blah blah, and she was like, "Oh really?"
I
was like,
yeah, and that's when she gets all mad. Yeah.
No, she asked if he'd seen it before. I distinctly remember that.
But either way, she overreacted way too much.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. I was like, really? You're going to get mad that quick?
Yeah. And I mean, if their relationship didn't have that solid foundation like they had, and, you know, if he had ever given her cause to think, you know, he would be unloyal, then yeah, you have a right to kind of be worried about it. But geez, Louise, lady.
Yeah. That's how I felt too when I saw that.
To me, a lot of this kind of dragged a little. Wasn't as much action as I thought there was going to be.
Yeah, there wasn't that much, really.
I didn't think it dragged. I just thought that all the action sequences weren't...
They were at the end or kind of after the midpoint.
I think action sequences weren't very action-y in general.
And his win was almost exactly the same as Odds.
His what?
Win was almost exactly the same as Odds.
True, but we can't go any further than that, but you're right. You're right.
Well, yeah. I just thought the one action sequence to me that I see as more an actual action sequence is when he's with his bodyguard, you know, his chauffeur, whatever.
In the hotel room.
And then it kind of cools down everything. And I felt like they focused more on the secretive slyness of the CIA instead of like the James Bond or Bourne Legacy, bam, bam, kicking butt. And even with the action sequence when he went into the building.
Exactly. I like that part.
That part was cool, but it wasn't a typical action sequence.
Yeah. True. You know, it was more, for me, I felt more like a suspense, like, is he going to get out of there in time?
Right. And so. I, like I said, at that point, when he got to Russia, is when it picked up. I don't know if it was quite the half of the
minutes?
But first third of the movie, to me, just felt, I guess, character building.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they're trying to do. Yeah.
But for people that, you know, most people already know Jack Ryan to a degree because of the books or past movies. This is going to be like the generation that's unfamiliar. So I guess I can see where they had to build the character up again. But, you know,
This is like prequel to all of them. I mean, like we were saying earlier, you know, this is his first job doing and stuff like that. So,
Well, I know. Did they promote this?
Yes.
Did they have commercials?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a Hollywood movie.
Are we serious right now?
Yeah, this was supposed to be one of their blockbusters.
I'd never even heard of this movie until, Dad.
Well, me neither. But I know I've
brought it and was like, hey, we're going to review this. I was like, what is it?
Yeah, I've seen previews a while back. I don't remember when.
I didn't see a commercial. I didn't hear a rumor. I mean, it was nowhere for me.
We don't watch a whole lot of network TV and stuff. We watch a lot of the, you know, the food networks, HG networks, and or DVDs. So
exactly.
But this one, it was considered to be a blockbuster. but it wasn't. Because the budget for this was $60 million.
So it's like The Incredible Hulk.
Well, not quite as bad. And this one actually got its money back plus a wee bit more. Because it was $60 million
to make it.
And they received... Oh, no, it actually fell short.
Oh,
they received only $50 million.
Ouch.
It's not that bad.
US theaters.
But it's not that bad because I know some movies have spent so much money and they've lost. They've never made a profit, not even 1% sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They could put the subtitles on the other parts of the movie and unsubtitle the Russian part and sell it in Russia.
Well, it is released throughout the world. This one might not go into some countries because it is centering around a U.S. spy
terrorism
type deal. But most of your movies that open up here, they're released worldwide eventually at some point.
Yeah,
so they do make
sure
up some money that way.
That's why they're like, oh, they couldn't go because they're at the England premiere. They're at the German premiere,
exactly.
You know.
And this one, I just lost my train of thought. Somebody else take it off.
I don't know.
I liked it. It was all right. Like you said, it was not really all action the whole time.
Yeah.
There were some parts that were action, but it was not really, like you said, action-y. But so far, it was an all right movie.
It reminded me a lot of The Bourne Legacy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
That's a little bit,
but it was not a whole lot where, you know, he's trying to remember who he is or whatever. But
yeah
kind of like...
And some of the analysis parts were good, too. That specifically in the engine, that van, for some reason, some of the analysis parts
Dear God.
Good. Well, when you're a computer person, yeah, I can see that. Because, I mean, and that kind of confused me.
What?
The computer end of it. Because you talk about him sneaking into the office.
Mm-hmm.
He had a key card of
the boss's
key card. Why didn't he just go into the boss's office?
He did. That was his office.
Well, they had him plug it into a wall.
Well, it's because I guess the network for that wall or something.
That's where it was at. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, but he was at the boss's office.
Okay,
though.
I missed that then. I didn't catch that.
What I was confused about, kind of around the same area and all that, was they kept making the, you know, point to say we're going to go into the building beside the building we're targeting, but they went into the building they were targeting into the main boss's office. I was like,
misinformation.
Multiple times.
Misinformation.
And this is one where, you know, he was an analyst where he quickly got turned into an operative. So I think that's why they kind of made the action sheets
less.
The action sequences less.
I liked how he sucked at it too.
True.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't the clean cut, like.
Yeah, that's what made
boom, boom,
felt,
boom.
That's what made it felt, you know, like he's a beginner. I know,
like,
of course he had
no clue what he's doing.
He had training for Marines, but I'm thinking the Marines are gonna go up hand to hand to, like, you know, the terrorist or something.
He's
so
rusty.
I don't think, except for the one scene in the hotel room, I don't think he really
he didn't fight anyone.
No, not really. No,
they're at kind of the end. He kind of did, but not to the degree like in the hotel room.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was in the business office, it was the Harper, Kevin Costner's character, that kind of had the spotlight because he was sniping off people that was coming at him. I was like, that's kind of cool.
When he was running out, he's like, just go and I'll shoot everybody for you.
And then April kind of commented on this, and I caught it because I was like, I have no clue why. But the precept was they went to dinner with the head of this company that had all the stuff with his fiance and him. He got drunk and had to go walk it off. She had to go to the restroom, and she goes, are you not going to escort me?
Oh, my gosh. That made me so mad. Yeah.
I must not be high class enough.
I know. Is that a rich person thing?
Did you pull it off, Logan? I remember that part, too. I was like, what?
And, oh, my. And then
I guess she was trying to distract him, but, you know, I don't know.
The person they were targeting that was at the dinner with him was like, I'll go with you. I was like, We okay at Apple at Applebee's, which is the nicest place we get. You know, is like we like waiter. Where's your restroom? Yeah, okay.
Then you go by yourself.
And then you go.
You don't tell. Do you want to come with me?
You don't get an escort. You know, I bet you there's also a person, a bathroom attendant in there.
Well, in Europe, sometimes there are.
Attendants, especially in the really fancy ones.
Perfume.
Yeah.
We went to one. It wasn't even really a fancy place in Germany, but they had a bathroom attendant.
They did?
She waited outside.
Oh.
And then after each person, I guess, would finish, she would go in and check everything and clean anything that needed cleaning. Oh. And she had a little tip tray
always
there because you were supposed to tip her.
Yeah,
and
it
was kind of funny because we had to pay to go to the public
restroom. That's what I didn't like. That's what I didn't like at all. Because I was like, this is a public restroom. I don't think, I mean...
€5.
I don't think they should be, you know.
I can't remember how much it was.
I think the reason why they charge is, you know, because, you know, they clean them and they have to
get
them
nice. I get
stuff.
It, but I don't think it really should happen. It's kind of like you get kind of mad. And then I think it's also kind of strange. I've never had to deal with this myself, but when the shopping centers. And everything that involves a shopping cart over in Europe, usually, I mean, it might not be all of them, but the ones from seeing, usually you have to put in like a euro or two
to get
the shopping cart and go shopping.
I guess they do that too, so you won't steal it or, I don't know, or just renting.
Some of our malls have that with strollers.
Yeah, or just to rent it, they're charging just to rent
it. I just think it's crazy because I'm like, you're already like taking my money from everything I'm going to buy. At least let me use a shopping cart. Courtesy, please. Yeah. Like, Lord.
This one was roughly 105 minutes, so a little over an hour and a half. Not too much over.
I didn't think it was that long.
Yeah, it didn't feel that long.
It had three parts to it. I felt like it had three in it, and you know,
beginning,
so
middle, end.
It didn't drag anywhere.
This is one. What do you think for usage libraries?
I think it would be pretty much all.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big ones. They just need one. I don't think they need two.
Big. Yes. Mediums. Yes. I would say small is usually yes.
I would say yes as well. Probably one because it is based on Tom Clancy novels. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty popular author in the military genre. So you'll have people wanting to do that. Some of your smaller libraries, if you are working with space, if you needed to replace it, I don't know if you would have to.
I don't think so.
But other than that, I agree with you guys. Yes to all of them. But
there's always the series aspect too, because you said the other books, some of them have been into movies.
True, they have been. So you can place it within the Jack Ryan series.
Yeah, it's the prequel, like Prometheus for aliens.
Yep, true. So, and this is one that I enjoyed. Like I said, there were some moments when it dragged, but
I'll probably give it like a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah.
I'd say 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's fair. I would say about the 5 to 6 for me. But like I said, the first part was a little slow to me because I already knew the character.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I would give it a little bit lower, because I was a little bit bored at the beginning. Logan, did you like it?
It was pretty good, I saw it.
Okay. So I think all of us are in agreement. It was a good one to pick up. Place it within your other movies with Tom Clancy books, and it'll go out. Also, it was slated as a blockbuster, so people will be looking for it as well. So you can go out and pick up anywhere right now, Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit. So we've had fun here tonight. We hope everybody out there has been having fun with us listening, and we will catch you the next go-around.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook,
or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.